So, why do bad things happen to good people? That's the question we're in again this evening. Let me pray for us as we come under this word tonight. Well, Father God, as we come now under your word, we again ask that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, open hearts to receive what you are seeking to do in our lives tonight. Father, we just pray, Lord God, that as we come now to answer this question, hopefully I pray that you would give me the words to speak and I guess anoint what I prepared this evening to speak into our hearts here tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you are present with us, you are near with us, and your desire is to fill us with your Holy Spirit now. So Holy Spirit, move in our lives, reveal areas of truth and the truth of your word that maybe we didn't already know or realize. And again, we ask for your blessing over us tonight. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Well, around 7 years ago, a mate of mine's wife, she was actually heading to their church to be interviewed for a potential role as a pastoral assistant or an associate pastor in the church that they were at. And at this meeting, there was a general positive vibe that God may be in this and that, again, this position might be suitable for my mate's wife to fill. And again, the meeting was positive and they were positive that she would be able to serve on staff in a pastoral capacity. And moments later, my mate's wife left the church and she started walking to her car. And in that moment of walking to her car, she suffered a brain aneurysm. And she died and passed away there and then, much to the efforts of the pastor who came and tried to do CPR on her. But when news reached to my mates and my group of friends, no one could believe what had happened. In fact, in talking to my mate not long after the event or a couple of years after the event, he was quite angry at God and rightfully so for what had taken place. And as tragic as that situation was, what made it even more tragic is that they had just welcomed a newborn son into the world. Their son was only 6 months old. And I know it's a full-on story to start our time with here this evening, but again, it sort of sets up this question that we have of why do bad things happen to seemingly good people? Or why isn't God fair? Why is there so much suffering in this world? And I remember again talking with my mates, in particular one of my mate's sisters, who was quite close to Kath, who was the one who passed away. And she was just saying to me, I just can't understand why God would allow this. I just had a newborn son. She was about to serve him in ministry, serve God in ministry, and then this happens. How could God allow this? And she was quite angry at God for taking away her best friend. But I wonder how many of us have asked similar questions of God before. If you feel vulnerable enough and honest enough to put your hands up, I definitely have. Why does bad things happen to us, God? Why is there so much suffering? Has anyone had that question before, being upset at God? You may be in that situation now. There may be something in your life that's going on now where you are asking these questions of God as well. And if you have asked these questions before, I don't want us to feel bad about it, because as we've been looking at over the course of this series, we are in good company. Our heroes of the faith, people in the Bible, have actually asked the same questions or similar questions of God. People like Abraham in Genesis 18, he says, "Should not the judge of the world judge fairly and justly?" Moses in Numbers chapter 11 says, "Why are you treating your servant so harshly?" The prophet Jeremiah asks, "Why do the wicked prosper?" It's a good question. Why do the wicked prosper? This is a theme that resonates through the book of Psalms as well. Obviously, we've been in the book of Psalms, and you can hardly turn to a page in the book of Psalms without these questions like this coming up. God, why didn't you answer my prayer? Where are you, God? Why don't you deliver me from this hardship? God, why don't you seem fair? Today, many people may ask similar kind of questions, but ask them this way. Why do so many children starve to death? Why do so many people die in developing countries of preventable diseases? Anytime there's a tragic natural disaster like a flood that we've experienced, a storm or an earthquake, and people pass away, We ask questions like, why did these people have to die? More personally, maybe you're asking questions like, why did this bad thing happen to me? Why did you allow my child to experience this, God? Why didn't you intervene, God, in that moment of time when I needed you most? These are questions that we ask of God and have been asking since the beginning of time, or since the beginning ultimately of when sin first entered this world. And they are very personal questions, aren't they? They're very personal questions that for so many people that we ask of God. And so the question before us this evening is, what is the answer to these questions? What is the right response? How do we answer these questions of God? Well, again, as always, this is our desire to unpack this a little bit deeper, and it is a deep theological question that we are looking at this evening. Now, I'm not going to try and pretend in the time that we have, I'm obviously trying to get through this as quickly as possible, but I'm not going to pretend that I'm going to be able to answer everyone's questions this evening. I'm not going to be able to speak into each individual circumstance or hardship that you may be going through, but my desire as we continue to look at this series is to ground this question in biblical wisdom and guidance, because it's God's word, the Bible, that we ultimately need to look to for answers to these types of questions. Amen. That's the only place that we can get some sort of answer to these deep theological questions that we have of God and this world. But when we look at these sort of questions, some Christians and some people will say, well, you're going through this hardship, or you've had this injury, or you've gone through this sickness because maybe God is punishing you. Maybe you're not doing the right thing and God is punishing you. Maybe there's sin in your life. Well, I want to speak against that myth here this evening. And this is obviously something that we see throughout the Gospels as well. Something that they believed in when Jesus walked this earth. People thought and believed that when someone was sick or was blind or had leprosy or was unwell or was suffering, it was because of sin in their lives. And God was punishing them as a result. But as we can see from this passage that Carmen read out to us, John chapter 9, verse 1 to 11, and other passages in Scripture, Jesus is saying here that that's actually complete garbage. That's rubbish. And we're going to come to unpack that in just a little while. But as we look throughout the Bible, the common denominator, for those who might be taking notes, and the most simplistic answer to why we experience suffering or bad things happen to us is because we live in a broken and messed up world, don't we? That's the reality of our situation. That's the reality of our life. Suffering tells us that there is something wrong with this world. And we need to start here to realize that we all are victims of living in a sinful and broken world. That is our existence, unfortunately. But if we go back to the book of Genesis, we read in Genesis 1 to 3 that God actually created this world perfect, didn't he? What's the common word that is spoken in the book of Genesis? God created something and it was good. The Hebrew word for good actually means perfect. So everything in this our existence, this world, humanity was made perfect. But something happened to change that perfection. And as we know, it was Adam and Eve taking that first bite of the apple. The moment they turned their backs on God, sin entered this world and corrupted this world and everything in it. But I want to do a little exercise now for us to help us understand the plight of this world. And I'll try and bring this over here. A bit of audience participation. But when we think about some of the bad things that happen in this world, let's list those together this evening as quickly as we can. Does people want to share out some of the bad things that happen in this world? So let's go through that list. Let's list what is natural and what is human induced. So death, bit of both, yeah. War, human. Abuse. Sickness. Bit of both. Natural. Grief can be both, I guess, inflicted. Floods. Yeah. Theft. Human. Financial stress or hardship. Human. shootings, excuse me, human disabilities, natural. So I guess you can see the common denominator there, isn't there? What's the common denominator with the majority of things that we experience in this life? Correct. The consequence of human behavior. So the majority of the things that we experience that are bad, if you're going to use that language, is a result of human behavior. Let me read to you the moment directly after sin entered the world in Genesis chapter 3. Have a listen to this. And then tell me what the common word is that you hear in this passage. In verse 8 it says, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' He answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.'" What's the common word there? They emphasized. "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." Aye. The moment that sin entered the world, life became about us. Before, it was about God and others. Once again, sin is what happens when we put ourselves over God and others, when we worship other things other than God and loving others. So the suffering and bad things ultimately that happen in the world are genuinely a result of human behavior. We have brought sin into this world. We have corrupted God's perfect creation. Again, none of those things that we listed ultimately put other people first, do they? When there's abuse, where there's theft, where there's shootings, that's not putting other people first. You can't say that's loving others and putting other people first. The direct consequences of that bite being taken out of the fruit, the one that God encouraged them not to touch, resulted in the ground being cursed. Man had to work harder. There was sickness. There was pain. There was sin. And ultimately, as Flynn said, death. Death was the consequence of that decision. But amongst it all, we have been given a glimmer of hope. Amen. There is light, there is hope, and that hope is ultimately in Jesus. And this is what Jesus says in John 16, verse 33. "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." In this passage, Jesus has been realistic, isn't he? He's not saying the moment you accept me into your life will be perfect. You will not experience hardship. You won't experience suffering. That's not what he's saying. He's saying you, in this existence, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. That is the hope that we have, amen? That when we look to the cross, when we look to the resurrection, we have the tools necessary to work through the hardship that we experience, to work through the suffering. That is God's promise to us, that in this sinful and broken world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And I think we need to acknowledge that some of the difficulty, some of the hardship that we experience is a result of living in a pain-filled, sinful world. And coming to that realization helped me get through a difficult patch recently, and some of you are aware of that. I lost my pop not that long ago. He was aged 87. He lived a good life, but it was still hard on the family going through that process, grieving the loss of a loved one. But just prior to that, as some of you saw this morning, my dad broke his leg, had an accident, was electrocuted in the pool. We're thankful that he's alive with us here today. But that time just recently was so hard on my mum in particular, grieving the loss of her own father and then trying to care for my dad. And obviously that impacted myself and the rest of the family as well. But again, it was having my hope grounded in Jesus and ultimately having faith in him that allowed us to get through that season of life, as Dan was sharing. Being grounded in God's word, coming to him, that's what filled us with strength and peace and comfort, knowing that Christ was in our corner and very much working the situation out. But as much as that reality was hard, we just had to accept that it was part and parcel of living in a broken and sinful world. It's part of our existence. We're going to go through hardship and suffering. But then there are other hardships that are a direct result of someone else's sin or our sin. So suffering is the reality that we live in a broken world, but suffering can sometimes be a direct result of our own sin. And now again, I'm not saying here that when we go through hard times or difficult times that God is punishing us. The story again that we shared earlier, John chapter 9, reveals to us that's not God's heart. But what I'm saying is that there are direct consequences of our sinful behavior. Have a look at Galatians 6, 7, 8 with me. It says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life." The direct consequences of our actions, or the consequences, sorry, there are direct consequences to the decisions we make in life, aren't there? Good and bad. So when we make a decision, when we choose to follow either God's ways or our own ways, there are consequences, either good or bad. For instance, if you drink a lot of alcohol and you choose to get behind the wheel and you have an accident and you hurt yourself or someone else, that's a direct consequence of a decision you have made. If you purchased a $40,000 car, went on an expensive holiday, live in a $2 million home and you're in financial hardship and struggle, which we spoke about, whose fault is that ultimately? It's a result of a poor or unwise decision when it comes to spending money. The reality of this passage of what Galatians is saying to us is that if we go on living a sinful life, we will reap what we sow. And what does he or she reap? Death or destruction, or death and destruction. The reality of what the Bible teaches us is that we are all sinners. Amen. Adam and Eve, yes, they were the ones to take the first bite, but we ultimately make choices that go against God's wishes for us each and every day. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." So when we ask the question, why does bad things happen to good people, it's the wrong question. It's a flawed question, because there is no such thing as good people. Amen. We are all sinners, which means we are all ultimately bad people. There is no good in us. The only good that comes from us is when we accept Christ into our life and he does the work of transformation in our lives. Psalm 14 and other passages state there is not one good person that has ever walked this earth, not even one. And the reason why this is so important for us to get our heads around, because if you don't think that you are a sinner, or you don't think that you are a bad person ultimately, then you don't need a savior, do you? You don't need someone to rescue us from that plight of sin and rebellion. You're not going to see your need for a savior. So first and foremost, we need to realize that in our lives. That when it comes to this question, why does bad things happen to good people? Well, again, it's a flawed question. It's not a good question to ask. In fact, the truth is that one bad thing did happen to one good person one time, didn't it? And that was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because Scripture tells us that he was perfect in every way. He was sinless, but yet he went to the cross for the sins of mankind. His death ultimately redefines suffering for us and puts suffering in a new category. And when I think about the fact that I'm going through a bad time, I just have to look to what he went through to realize that we have a God in heaven that loves us, amen? To realize that what he went through as a sinless man, walking the road of Calvary, blood pouring from his broken body, sweat pouring from his mutilated face, he went through this for us to reveal that from suffering and hardship, God can do something profoundly powerful in our lives. Amen. There's the reality of what we see from Christ's teaching, his way of life, his death and resurrection. Suffering shows us that there is something wrong with the world. Suffering is a direct consequence of the decisions we make, the actions we take, the sin in our lives. And finally, suffering reveals to us that God wants to do something profoundly powerful in our lives. And that's what we get to see with this blind man and Jesus once again. Jesus gives us a new category when it comes to hardship and suffering. For God's desire is to use that suffering we experience and use it for something powerful once again. Put yourself in that blind man's shoes for just a moment. You've been born blind, but say your sister or your brother hasn't. You could easily be asking that question of God, can't you? Why aren't you fair, God? Why does my brother see? Why does my sister see? But I have been born blind. And then suddenly all the people in this story around this guy and Jesus, they're doing what we naturally do as human beings. We try to cast blame. Whose fault is this, Jesus? Is it his parents or his fault? What sin did they commit that resulted in this man being born blind? And Jesus responds again with a new way of looking at things. Neither this man nor his parents. But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. And what does he do? Jesus heals this man right there and then, doesn't he? Like he does with so many different people. And the moment he goes from being blind to seeing, he now has a powerful story of transformation that he can tell in order to save other lives too. Amen. I was blind, but now I can see. Jesus has healed me. And Jesus says, this thing that you didn't want to happen, well, God did something incredible through it. God used it in an incredible way. And it's very similar to what we see in the Old Testament with Joseph. Joseph, as we know, was sold into slavery by his brothers, beaten, punished, thrown into prison. And then years later, he again confronts his brothers. They come back to him. He rises to power in Egypt. And these brothers are repentant for their actions. But he replies by saying, what you intended for evil, God used for good. What he's saying in this passage is that there is a broader purpose in the midst of our pain and our suffering. And what we're trying to say by that, and by doing that, I don't want to diminish or take away from anyone's suffering here this evening. And I don't want to answer it with cliche responses like, oh, it's for a reason that you're going through X, Y, and Z. Everything happens for a reason. What we're trying to do is to help us ultimately look to the cross when it comes to our suffering. Because whilst Friday can be so hard and difficult, Sunday is coming. Amen. And what do I mean by that? When we look to what Jesus went through, Friday was obviously the most brutal death that anyone could ever experience. Not only that, but all hope was completely taken away from his disciples as well on Friday, wasn't it? They went through so much anguish, confusion, hardship. But they should have known and realized what Jesus was talking about all along. It wasn't Friday so much as they had to focus on but Sunday. What happened on Sunday? Resurrection. And so one day maybe, as Dan shared with his story and I can attest to with my life, one day we'll look back on the hardships and the difficulties that we go through in life only to realize that we needed to go through those dark places for God to do something profoundly powerful in our lives in order for there to be a resurrection. Amen. God wants to do something incredibly amazing in your life and mine. He wants to redeem our sin, redeem our suffering in an incredible and amazing way. Pastor Tim Keller says this: two things can happen when you suffer. One is to think, I'm being punished, but the cross says, no, Jesus took your punishment. The second question comes up, well, maybe God doesn't care, but the cross says God does care. He's lost a child out of his love for you. The reality of our situation is that we don't truly and will never truly understand why certain things happen to certain people. Why Kath had to die the way she did to leave her six-month-old son behind. We don't know why we endure sickness or lose that loved one or why that evil was done against that person. We're never going to truly understand and know that for certain, why God permits pain and suffering in other people's lives and not in others. But what we do know is that the center of our faith is a God who suffered. Amen. and a God who ultimately will not waste the pain that we are currently enduring, but has the power to redeem our hardship and pain in an incredible way. Now, the blessing of that story that I shared with Breno, his name is, and his wife, Kat, who passed away. I spoke with him 2 years later after the event. And obviously, he was still dealing with it, processing it, working through it. And he actually said to me, I sent him a text, or everyone was posting on Facebook at the time to encourage him, and which you naturally do when something tragic like that happens. And I just preached on 2 Corinthians 1, which is all about God's comfort. And so I passed that on to him to say I'd be praying for him. But when I asked him about that, he actually said to me that was actually really hard to get to receive. And I was actually quite angry at that. And it took me aback because it came from a good place, but it helped me learn a powerful pastoral lesson in that moment. And some people don't want to be preached to. They don't want to hear those kind of words. All that people need to when they go through those sort of times is to know that there are people there praying for them, that they're loved, that they're shedding a tear with them, mourning with those who mourn type of thing. It actually taught me a powerful lesson, which is a whole nother sermon in dealing partially with people going through these sort of things. But he shared again about how God was actually in doing some incredible things in his life through all of that. We don't have time to go into each and every one of them, but God blessed him with another wife, another mother for his son. And he just shared about how God, through it all, was just evidently there, comforting him, strengthening him through the tragic loss of his first wife, Kat. But again, that's the God that we serve, amen? That's God's heart for us. This is why he entered into our existence, so he can identify with us in our suffering. Identify with us in our heartache, in our pain. That is the God that we serve. So much so that he would go to the cross so that we could look to that example as an example of hope and strength. So when we come to that question of why isn't God not fair, again, it's another wrong question. Because God isn't fair, but he's just. Amen. He's a just God. Justice is all about righting the wrong things, which is what God is all about. If he was fair, then he would give us what we deserve, which is ultimately death and destruction. But such is his love for us that he came into our world. And so when we're tempted to say God's not fair, we can say, no, God is just. We don't clearly understand every situation and why we go through circumstances in life, but ultimately it should lead us to yearn for a time when all pain and suffering will be eradicated when Christ returns. 1 Corinthians 13:12, as we finish up, says, now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in the mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. All we have in life really is hope, faith, and love, which is the final part of that passage. And that is all we need ultimately to get through the trials and hardships that we experience in life. That is what we need to get through everything in this life. Let us finish in a time of prayer, and then Raphael's going to come up and just lead one final song for us. Heavenly Father, as we reflect on this deep theological question, Lord, we know how hard it is to comprehend, how hard it is to wrap our heads around, especially when we go through those challenging seasons in life. But my prayer for each and every one of us today is that we would look to the example of the cross in order to realize, Lord God, that we will endure hardships, we will go through pain and suffering, but you use it in such incredible ways to mold us. And so my prayer, I guess, once again, is that our faith and our hope would be anchored in you. So when we do go through those times, and when you bring us out the other side, we can look back on those times and say, yes, that was a molding experience that deepened my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, for those who may be going through challenging times and seasons now, I pray that your blessing may be upon us and upon them, that you would guide them, that you would lead them, and ultimately fill them with a sense of your comfort, your hope, and your peace. Lord, help us to realize that suffering is part of this broken existence, that it is a consequence of the actions we make in life as well. But ultimately, you are coming again to fix the wrongs and right the wrongs so that we may worship you in heaven for all eternity. Lord, bless us as we sing this last song now. Bless the Lord, all my soul. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.